Hello, welcome again to This Black Girl Podcast, the special edition. I am joined by the three lovely melanated gentlemen from the John Jackson Show. And you guys would introduce yourselves. You guys,
I'm gonna start first. So I go by the name of P. Belafonte, aka Chico Fontaine. I'm the one and not the two. You know what I'm saying? I need everybody to understand that about me. I am one third of the Jaw Jackson Show, and we are glad to be here with Lola on this Black Girls Podcast. Who next?
You know me. I'm going by King Zo 3062. Hey, God is good. God is great, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do it, and that's how we're gonna finish it, baby. Let's go.
And I am, they say the best for the last for sure. I am Dookie LaFleur, the player from the Himalaya. One third of the Jaw Jackson Show as well, at Dookie LaFleur 1804, for those who are looking for me out there. You know what I'm saying? And it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Well, thank you guys all for coming, all for being here. We're going to jump straight into the juicy content, because what, I guess, drew me to you guys and was like made me super aware of the content was the fact that you guys are all Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who don't realize it yet, I'm Canadian. I do not belong to the United States of America. Even though, shout out to you guys being the majority listening audience of this show, I am Canadian. But with that being said, there's differences between, you know, myself not just being a woman compared to you guys as men, but being Canadian compared to you guys as American, as well as being Caribbean, specifically Jamaican, compared to you three being Haitian. So I wanted to ask, and any one of you guys can jump in first and give your experiences. What has your experience been, I guess, we'll start with within America, I guess, interacting with other people who aren't Haitian?
Okay.
Well, I'll go first.
All right. I'm Haitian American. I was born and raised in Haiti and moved here when I was 13, and I had to learn a whole new spectrum of lifestyle and, you know what I mean, like culture. And I thought the whole world speak French, to be honest.
You missed the country. You should have came here. On parlait français
ici. Guess what? We came to Air Canada. Everybody was speaking French at the airplane. So I assume everybody around the world speak French, you know, so that's what messed me up, you know. So then moving here, learn the culture, just learn, like, what we're going to talk about, the relationship. It was a big difference from me raised in Haiti and have the Haiti culture, then move over here and learn the American culture or somebody else that's not from America and, you know, that American also.
Okay.
But, like, relationship.
I was going to ask, what was the biggest, I guess, culture shock that you noticed when you first came or first immigrated to America?
My first culture shock, I literally almost died. I didn't know who was Spanish, who was white, who was German, who was this, who was that, who was American, who was Jamaican, who was from Trinidad. It just, the language, everybody, you know, how people look. I didn't know who's who because Haiti, where I'm from, is everybody's black. You might see 1% of Arab or Chinese, like, once in a blue moon, but, like, majority is black, and I'm not used to seeing, you know, Spanish, white, black, you know, all types of different people. Like, you know, it really messed me up for a couple months. Like, I was literally ready to go back because I didn't like this. I didn't like this gumbo. You feel me?
Yeah.
So, but coming to talk about the topic, like, relationship wise, is very different when you date outside, not somebody from Haiti or, you know, Haitian culture. It's very difficult from, like, how you raise the kids, how the kids talk to their parents, and what's the standard, you know what I mean, of, you know, who's the CEO of the family, guess who's the employee of the family, you know what I'm saying? You know, the kids or the employee. You know, the mother and the father is the CEO. And the way I was raised, you know, you gotta respect everybody. From, if it's an elder, automatically respect. That's how I was raised in Haiti. But when over here, like, I couldn't even look at a teacher with my eyes open, Because that was that, to me, that was, I'm from my culture, I'm from Haiti, that's disrespectful. So me seeing a kid talking back to their parents, I'm like, this nigga about to die tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And dating people, even dating people like different from me is just like, because me, we very strong. They were just strong where like little things don't bother you. But over here, you got to like, you know, baby the kids, like the kids, the parents want to be best friend with the kid. And right. The kids get up any type of way to their parents. And as long as they provide and do everything for the kid, they think that's what parenting is, you know? And that's what one of the culture shock that from where I was raised and how I see it in the state, you know, like from different, from white American, black American, Spanish American, is totally different where I was raised, you know what I mean?
Do you guys find it a similar type of experience or was it different?
Well, my experience, so we're all, I think we're like, busting it down, we're all Haitian, but we're all different aspects, different, I guess, different.
See, different flavors of Haitian.
Yeah, right. He's Haitian from the earth. You know what I'm saying? Straight from the earth, right? Then we got like Dookie, who is Haitian, but Dookie was it. We like still in that, like where he lived, there was still like a big Haitian cult, you know what I'm saying, community, right? Okay. Versus me, where I was kind of like on the outskirts, right? We were uptown, if you will, right? Like there wasn't really that much of an influence where I was. So let me just, from my perspective, right? Being a Haitian American, right? It was always weird for me because I was born in the United States, but I was raised Haitian, right? The first language in my household was Creole, right? This is what my mother's speaking and stuff like that. But what I found and what used to be a problem for me and what not necessarily irritated me, but I used to always find confusing as a child, was the fact that to Haitian, to American people, I was Haitian, right? Through and through, right? We eating Haitian food, we speaking the language. But to Haitian people, to the, all the, you know, all the people, all the Jessicans, the people that, you know, that was originally born in Haiti, I was American. Yeah. So I always found myself in that weird little spot in between where, you know, you're trying to figure out what your identity is, because like, I don't know if I'm this, I don't know. You're telling me I'm not this, but you're telling me I'm not that. So at that point it's like, okay, I'm this whole new creature. So there was really no, you know what I'm saying? There was really no book, or there was no guideline for how I was supposed to walk. You know, there was really no way for me to walk the path, right? So it was always, everything that I was experiencing was something new that nobody could really tell me about. And it was just like, you know, you figure it out as you go along.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So my experience is being Haitian American. I grew up in a household where I grew up in the United States, but my parents were Haitian. Neither of them spoke English. So definitely Creole was my first language. English was something that I had to learn at school. And all my life, you know, my experience was, you know, I had American friends, I had Spanish friends, but, you know, they used to look down on me. You know what I'm saying? Like I was always looked down on for being Haitian. And that's what got me into like doing comedy and cracking jokes and stuff like that. That always made me a lot stronger. You know, people used to always say stuff like, oh, yeah, y'all eat cats, y'all can't dress, y'all stink, y'all this and that. You know, so I really had to go through that experience. So growing up where I grew up, where it was predominantly Haitian and Mexican, there were blacks there as well, you know, and that's who most of the issue came from. The issue didn't come from Mexicans or whites. We had to deal mostly with blacks, you know, because they didn't understand the culture. They, you know what I'm saying? It was very different to them. So, I guess they looked at us like aliens or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's wild because,
you know, you did that like a Haitian and stuff. And it was used like a bad word at one point for me. So that's kind of what got me into, you know, telling jokes and to be a tough guy. You know what I'm saying? Like to fight and you or whatever and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You said tough?
It's wild for me to hear this, that like that Haitian people were so isolated because growing up, at least here, when I grew up, I kind of grew up the same way that you grew up, Pete, in the sense that, like, I wasn't necessarily uptown, but, like, when I went to school, I was literally one of, like, three black people that were there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I was very, very used to being that token black girl mm-hmm. in a room. And when I went to high school... I was meeting other black people and I was like, oh, this is great seeing people that look like me. They're like, skirt, you're not black enough. You you talk too nice. You're too this. You can afford something I can't. And I'm like, and it messed with me for a little bit. And I was like, and I kind of managed to push through and then eventually found, like, you know, my own group of people. And I had, you know, my Black friends or whatnot and grew up. And now I have friendships of all colors, thankfully.
Right.
But I was used to kind of being that weird spokesperson for everyone.
For the Black community.
For everyone. Like, even, like, growing up, oh, are you Somalian? No. Are you Nigerian? No. Turns out I am a little bit, but whatever. I would be asked about all different things. Oh, how come Black people don't wash their hair every day? How come Black people don't do this? Or how come Black people do that? And blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, well, that doesn't apply to me. Like, that's not my culture. That's not this. Like, that's different. And for at least for me, it was weird of other people to realize that Black people just weren't one whole wash of a culture. That
one broad stroke.
Just even with the Caribbean, not realizing, you know, that there is Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago, even people like Guyana, St. Vincent, like just knowing that there's all these different islands and they all have their own different respective cultures.
Word.
It was wild to people. It was wild to people. Yeah. Even like you can ask people now in Toronto and ask them, name a Caribbean island. 90% will still say Jamaica.
That's it. That's what all people say. Now let me ask you a question though, Lola. Speaking of the differences and experiences we got to go through. Like I know what a lot of our biggest, I guess, stereotypical things people would say to Haitian people and Haitian culture. But like for you living in Canada, that's a different. Canada's clearly a different animal. Living in Canada, was there something stereotypical that you would always hear coming from, you know, people who don't know the culture, right? Like, so that you were telling me you're Jamaican. What was the first thing that what was like one of the main things that they would say, or one of the biggest things that they would come up with?
They would ask, like, it was stupid questions. I don't know who would like to incite like rage or stuff, but it was just like, how come I don't have dreads, or when am I gonna have dreads? You know, do I smoke weed, or does my family smoke weed? I've been asked all types of stupidness. I've been asked, like, whenever somebody goes, like, for example, to Jamaica for vacation, they'll come back being like, yeah, man, wagwan, man. Like, just as a kid, but now that I'm older, the dialect in Toronto that people like to call Toronto man's talk is like a mash of this hood speak with like Jamaican patois.
Oh.
So like where normally like a normal Jamaican would be like, yo, wagwan my you, da 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 da. It's this weird twisted Toronto version where people are like, yo, wagwan my you, dog, like, yo, run. Like, and it's so crazy because people think that like they hang around enough Black people, oh, I can talk like that. Or, you know, that's how I grew up. That's my people. And hearing, like, white people that want to say nigga so bad. So bad. Like, they'll fight you. They'll fight you to say it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good charge.
I guess I fight him back too, so just gay. Fuck, please. Let me come over. As long as I'm going to jail, I'll fight you back. Swear to God.
I'm telling you, it's different out here because there's a lot of entitlement. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of you know.
Canadians are entitled. Do you think? Have you been to the States?
Yeah, of course.
You think Canadians are more entitled than Americans?
Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
In a general spectrum, a little bit. Yeah, I know. A little bit. You'd be surprised.
Oh no, surprised. Oh no.
That American cockiness, boy, like it's another level.
If you're driving and you cut off the wrong person, oh Fuck you, nigga, bitch. Fuck you. So quick. So quick.
Oh, moms them can't drive. Moms them can't drive.
Nope. I'm telling you, like, not to say that the city itself isn't bad. There's, like, a lot of good things about the city, and there's a lot of great people in the city. But there's a lot of that ugly, too, mm-hmm. that's here, mm-hmm. that you guys see in the face, too.
That's underbelly.
The underbelly's rising. It's getting a little thick. Mm-hmm. Get a little, mm-hmm. you know, big around that belly. The belly's getting fucked up, you know?
That's a six right there.
Yep.
Now her throwing it up.
Come on, Drake. Hey, with her wolves, boy.
Oh, hell yes. I love Drake. Love him dearly. Telling
shout
you.
Out
to the kid, man.
Yeah. Hey, so hold on. Go check out like a parade coming soon in August. First weekend of August, right?
July. Caravana.
What is it?
What's that?
It's a multicultural Caribbean festival. So people play mass, dress up, and they go down the parade, and there's different, performance houses. I would have to look up which houses are playing, but there's just different carnival houses that will have floats, and they'll have performers that, like, travel down this long path.
I know, but do they have Haitian artists performing?
Sometimes, but this past year they had the Pride Parade. They had Spice for some reason at the Pride Parade, which is fine, whatever. But I think PopCon's coming this year.
Oh, that's my boy.
Right? And a few other people, but I haven't heard of any Haitian artists performing yet.
So is this like a Mardi Gras or is this like a carnival?
It's kind of a combination of both.
Yeah, it's kind of like Labor Day in New York type of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't been Labor Day in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lit. I'm not gonna lie, it's lit. Most times it's grown to have a violent reputation at some points. But because some people just go there and like to fuck it up. They like to rob people. Somebody got shot a few years back. Overall though, it has a good, like, I guess, good tone and good experience.
We're American now, so we do. We could handle that.
I know, but we don't dig it. We don't want it here.
All the Jack boys out.
But Caravana's lit though. Caravana's lit. The costumes are great. You know, girls' booty cheeks are out. Everybody's.
Ooh, yes.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here.
Lola.
Yeah.
Have you worn a uniform?
I have not yet.
Are you going this year?
I will though one day.
Find out the date. We might slide through.
What, put it this way: the day that I do, I will let y'all know, and I will let everybody know. Because watch this once and watch it walk away.
Come,
and that's it.
Come, please. Come up out the yard.
All I need is one mic.
Nobody allowed. Nobody, nah. CC, no touch. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm. That's why God gave me those beautiful eyes.
There you go. You got two of them for a reason. Ah. And that's it.
That's a beautiful eye.
Oh my God. But talking about CCing and whatnot, mm-hmm. I wanted to get into, I guess, the differences you guys have experienced dating different types of Black people.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. For me personally, I've dated a couple African guys, and I've dated another Caribbean guy. He was from Barbados. Well, not, was he from Barbados? No, he was born here, but his family's from Barbados. And the experience for me, it was, like, really, I don't want to say super drastic, but there was more subtle things that I'm like, mm-hmm. in my family, this shit would never fly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like talking about what Zoe was mentioning about, like, the whole hierarchy of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, some of the disrespect that some of them would say, and, like, mm-mm.
All right, so speaking on that, right, me being the individual of the crew who's more experienced in dating, you know, I've I've dated a plethora of races, right? You know, I've been around the spectrum, Mike, if it's safe to say, right? Okay. Dated a Jamaican girl, you know, it was cool, you know, I think she was more into like loving and, you know, it was more of a sensual thing with her, you know, that's the benefit of dating her, right? Okay. She wanted to take care of me more than American girl would probably do. There are certain American girls who are down for that. You know, they want to take care of their man. They depend on how they were raised. But it ain't too many of them that are like that. Jamaican girl, I know that off the rip, that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to take care of me. She cooked for me, made sure I ate and all that kind of stuff.
That's her love language. Taking care of her men.
Yeah, so the other girl that I dated was African. I dated her for a short amount of time. She was very loving as well, but it was just a different, you know, like, I think different races or different cultures of women just learn how to love differently. And it was received different from each pretty much race. They all love me just in a different way, and they show different ways of loving. So I think it does have a lot to do with, you know, backgrounds and how you're raised and your culture and, you know, what your beliefs are as well when it comes to relationships.
And which one connected to you the most?
I would say I did connect to the Jamaican girl most, right? You know, because she did most, you know, like I always told myself that if I get with a girl, she's going to be like my mother. And, let me take that back.
Okay.
Let me take that back. I did date, and I dated a lot of Haitian women as well. So I can say that the best woman I've ever had was a Haitian woman. And I can prove that because of the fact that I married her. That's the only woman I ever married, right? Yeah. And with her love, I don't know, it just felt more like my mother. You know, like I was saying the whole thing with the Jamaican girl, she was nurturing to a certain extent, right? But she still had that rough grittiness to her, you know what I'm saying? Like, this and that. But, you know, okay. With the Haitian girl that I did marry, you know, just everything was just, it was perfect, right? She was calm, she did things, you know what I'm saying? She asked questions, you know, she showed love, you know, she always, hey, is your head hurting? Is this and that? Did you eat today? She'll call me and let me, hey, did you eat today? What did you eat today? Are you hungry? Are you going to want to eat later? You know, some women are not that concerned, right? You know, they're so caught up in different things that, you know, they don't have time to do that. But she always, always made time to make sure that I'm okay.
Okay. So it was like, it was more comfortable for you. It was more familiar because
it was very much more familiar. That's, I could say that.
Like more than it's like what you're used to, you know, because I feel as though when you were younger and you have your parents showing you love, it kind of, it inadvertently teaches you
what
to expect. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like if you have a mom that's doting on you, making sure you're fed, making sure you're feeling well, making sure you're okay, you're expected to kind of search for somebody who does the same because that's what you know love to be, right?
That becomes your definition of love,
right?
Yeah, it almost becomes your love language. And that's why I was saying, like, when you were mentioning the Jamaican girl, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely Jamaican love language. Because, like, even, like, with my own mother, myself, I've grown to be, did you eat? No. Come on. If you're going to come over, you have to at least eat some. You're sure? Have at least some tea. Have a little tea. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of that caretaking moment to kind of show, like, I care for you. I want to make sure you're okay. And if you're leaving, make sure you leave okay. So,
I can definitely see
that. But what about you guys? Yeah.
Me, I think dating outside your like your culture or stuff like that is really hard. It's get like Dookie said, sometimes you have to go back to your basic. Like you gotta go back to your culture. Cause dating outside your race is like it's a lot of explaining to do and it's get tiring. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To be honest, it get tiring because like me as a Haitian, I speak a different language. Mm-hmm. You know, and dating us, certain things, some jokes we have to explain to the other culture. But when we did like an Haitian woman, she already know what that is. It's like that comfort to date somebody that's your same culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, a white American could date a black American and they'll be fine with it because basically they kind of have the same culture. They used to say, you know what I'm saying? But in both really American, they don't got no outsider. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a Jamaican ish dating you, they might say Yachty. You don't have to explain that shit. A Jamaican woman will know what that is automatically. I don't have to tell you, hey, that's part of saying you Bolika to a Jamaican. You know, so you don't have to say none of that. Yeah. It's just like Haitian, like if I did a Haitian woman, certain things like certain food or certain jokes, I don't have to explain if I was dating a Jamaican, a Trinidadian, or a white woman, or a black woman from, you know, American, or white American, or somebody from Europe. You know, I don't have to explain that to her because she speaks the language, she knows the culture. She might not be born in Haiti, but she still knows the joke because she was born in a Haitian household.
Right.
You know, so she heard that. She heard that once, and, you know, she heard that sometime in her life, you know what I'm saying? And she didn't mention that. Because you got to understand, like, Haitian women have it both ways. Because a Haitian woman could date a nigga from, don't mind me saying nigga, but a man from Haiti, or a Haitian American, you know, from here, that never been to Haiti, but got the same type of, you know what I'm saying, the same type of culture built into them, you know what I'm saying? And
that's true.
And that's what I'm saying. What's up, bro?
No, I was going to ask you, like, out of all the races that you dated, like, which one do you think you resonate more with? Same thing, what she had at Dookie.
I'm not even gonna lie, don't disrespect, but after God, it's a good Haitian woman.
Okay, there's no disrespect to that.
You know, like, that's how I feel. Like, just like, I don't know, those,
you like what you like.
Yeah, those women to me, like if you like a guy that you got your head in your shoulder and you want to build, you want to evolve as a person, as a human being, you get up with an issue on the same mindset, man, you go to the top, baby. That's it.
Let me go ahead. Go.
No, I was going to say, I want to give you your piece because then I know once I throw my piece into it, it's going to shake things up a little bit.
You're gonna bring a little razzle before we get
after we might take about a white dude in here, boy. She might talk about white man.
That's that setup. So listen, let me go ahead and get my piece out there. So funny enough, right? So I'm married, but I'm married to an American girl, right? Coming up, right? I grew up an only child for a long time, right? Shout out to my brother decided to bring his goofy ass over from Haiti when he was 13, right? So he kind of fucked up my sweat move, but whatever. You know, I allowed it. I told my mom, okay, he can fucking live here, I guess. But I lived on the top, but I was always the baby. So, you know what I'm saying? I was used to being catered to, right? So keep in mind, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you come home, like the boys are saying, right? She asked you if you're hungry. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to wash my clothes. I didn't have to clean my room. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only real work I really had to do around the house was anything that was outside. Like, I would have to wake up, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, go outside and dig up my mother's garden with like, because she didn't have regular garden tools. She had like a fucking butcher knife that she would send me out there to go dig up her shit. And me and my brother would go out there raking fucking leaves. We hated that shit, dude. And she would wake us up first thing Saturday morning for us to do that goofy ass shit. But, you know, shout out to my mom. But needless to say, people always thought I was going to end up with an island girl, right? Not even just a Haitian girl. People always thought I was going to end up with an island girl. Okay. Well, they didn't realize. So, but one thing about me is I'm about, like, I need balance, right? Like, I don't need anybody like me, right? I need somebody that's going to balance me, that's going to keep me buoyant, right, to where I don't get too far up, too far down, too far left, too far right, right? So what I found was the differences, I found, I ain't going to say comfort, but I found value in the differences that we had. Right, like the things that you would do that I know what I was used to, right? I didn't need somebody like my mama because my mama was my mama, so I don't need nobody like my mama. So what I needed somebody who was gonna balance me, right? So there were times where I didn't feel motivated, she would motivate me, right? There were times where I feel like I can do something. She would tell me, hey, you know what? Yes, you can do something, you know what I'm saying? So it was just little things like that would just throw me off. It's like, okay, well shit, I wasn't used to that. No, I'm not used to a mother, you know, somebody. But I was a little nerd too, so I jumped off the porch a little late, right? I wasn't really dating like
that. And still is.
Early in the game. So I jumped off the porch a little late, so all that stuff was new to me. And I don't know, man. The shit, it worked out because, you know what I'm saying, we ended up getting married. But what it was is I appreciated the differences. And I think one of the difficulties or hurdles that we run into when it comes to the differences is you can appreciate the differences, but at the same time, those differences are still hurdles, right? The fact that you can see things one way, I can see it another way. And we come to the point where we're not going to agree on it because I'm like, you're crazy. And I call you crazy. You think I'm crazy. And it's like, all right, well, we ain't gonna make no progress in that situation. But you know, you learn to appreciate it. It's like, all right, you know what? That you agree, you learn to agree to disagree. And it's okay, right? It's okay for you to be different. And that was one of the things where I found peace in. I found comfort in. So I've dated island women before. The island women were my preference, but when I realized that, you know what, the differences and the balance really benefited me more, mm-hmm. I ended up going with the American girl and ended up getting married to him.
I got a question for you. So does the culture difference bring a lot of argument or misunderstanding?
It does. Yeah, it does.
I'll take it on that phone.
There's a big cultural difference, right? So let's so I don't know, just to act like on the surface, right? Because there's a lot of underlying shit, but on the surface, right? If you're a Haitian boy and a Haitian girl, those are two different animals, right? So I have the luxury of having both, right? So in the Haitian household, if you're a girl, you're pretty much in prison until you get married, right? Like, you're not supposed to really go outside, you know what I'm saying? You're not really supposed to be talking on the phone, you ain't wearing no, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really just locked up, you know what I'm saying? You
can't even get the mail.
Right, I'm saying. That's what, so keep in mind, this is what I've grown up around. When I go to my cousin's house, I know, all right, well, listen, I'm gonna go outside. I see y'all later type shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you really can't do anything gay or anywhere. You have to be in the house. You're learning to cook clean. Yeah. Shit like really traditional. As for the boys, we do what the fuck we want, right? We get up, go, move around, and let your mama tell you her son don't do nothing wrong. So even though the streets is telling you, hey, you know, your son out here doing this baka boy shit, you know what I'm saying? Not to your mama, you still perfect. So like, you can't lose. And you come home, you know what I'm saying? You come home, the girls already done made something to eat. So that's in the Haitian household, right? In the American household, it's completely different, right? They're more equality and shit. Like, oh, she has to go
best,
have
life. Best friends. I call it best friends.
Right. It's like, shit, since when? So I find it a constant battle for myself, at least. An internal battle that I have to fight. Because, you know, I still have to, I have to understand that, you know, they live in a different world. My girls are living, they're not living in that traditional world I'm used to. So there are battles that I have to fight that I have to be like, you know what, Pat? This is a battle that you don't need to fight. This is one of them that you don't want it in. Please allow her to understand that she is different and she can understand the girls better than you can. So allow her to be able to make them kind of decisions and allow her to be able to, you know, kind of guide them and lead them in the path that she thinks is going to work best, right? Because she has more experience in this world than I do when it comes to being a girl. So I have to live with that. But there are a lot of, when it comes to cultural clashes, there are a lot of cultural clashes, guaranteed.
Well, okay, I'm going to speak for myself because mm-hmm. I've had the luxury of dating different Black men. They've been good. Some of them have been less than great. Like, adopting my girlfriend's experiences, what they've been through and all of this, that, and the third. Long story short, as of currently, I am dating and with a white man.
What I told you. What I told you. What I told you. I told you. What I told you. Hey, you know, you was never. Hey, no, can I say something? Can I say something? Hey, look, how them girls say? You was definitely given white man. You know what I'm saying? You was definitely given.
What about me gives white man?
It's just a little bit of kind of vibe. You know what I'm saying? No, it's just a little bit kind of, you know, it's just like you ain't too hood. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I ain't too hood. Why do I have to be hood?
No, it usually be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it usually be the non-hood type girls, you know what I'm saying, who usually, you know what I'm saying, is willing to experiment. You know, you're not one of these, you know what I'm saying? You know, hey, but you know, I dated a white lady before too. You know what I'm saying? And that was my experience. I can't say that's my preference, but I had fun.
But you know, as me, I don't have a preference, bro. Like, I go by energy and vibe.
It's all about energy with me, right? I
really don't care for you, like, but you know, Spanish, Asian, white, Black, whatever you are. But if we like, when I met you, how you make me feel, the energy you give me, I'm like, oh, damn, I could date that person. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the energy I'm coming from, because I love my black men. I love my melanin. Like there's, because a lot of people will assume that there's like a sense of like self-hate in there, and there isn't.
It just, I feel what you're saying.
You know, it's literally just somebody who I really connected with and who I vibe with. Like I grew up essentially semi-traditional, semi-not, because I grew up in a single parent household where my mom was always working. So there was that bit of traditional of like, you can't go out and go do nothing. You have to know, just know where you're going. You know, when she's not home, guess what? You're cooking, cleaning, taking care of the younger siblings, doing all of that work to kind of help keep the house running. So mm-hmm. I'm used to having that kind of structure. And when I met my current partner, we, I guess, bonded outside of the culture stuff. Like, we bonded off of the fact that, like, we both enjoy arts. Like, he's creative, I'm creative. He's, you know, kind of nerdy, I'm kind of nerdy. He's tall, I'm tall. Like, just certain, like, all the other qualities that weren't about black and white. And then as we got to know each other, we got to explore all of those differences. So, like, you know, understanding what my Jamaican background means compared to his Polish background. So like he wasn't super, like he was indoctrinated into his culture, like he was taught about it. He grew up in a Polish household because his parents are immigrants from there, just like how I grew up in a Jamaican household because my mother was an immigrant from there. So mm-hmm. if anything, we related off of the fact that we were first gen, like our parents were right. first generation, like we're first generation and they're immigrant parents, like. So if anything, that's what brought us together. And we just kind of been able to kind of put the best of our both our worlds together. So like he gets to enjoy and eat Jamaican food that I cook. Like he'll prepare like Polish food sometimes that I get to try. And like we learn about different things about each other, which I think is kind of cool, because I don't, what I love and what I think is super important, I don't have to compromise any aspect of my blackness for this man. Ever. Like, if I want to just throw the wig off, be in a bonnet, do whatever, like, you know, because you don't understand the horror stories I've heard of girls being like, he grabbed my wig and it flew off and I was embarrassed. Like, I don't feel that embarrassment. If I want to throw my wig off, throw it to the side and do whatever, he's not
looking. Well, do it now. Doing
I'm not doing it now. I don't know y'all like that.
Don't do it. So
I'm not putting that on YouTube.
I got something to say.
Yeah.
Just it works like that when you bond outside your culture, then you bring the culture in. It's only work when both of you guys try to understand each other's culture. Sometimes it'd be like a culture fight. Oh. My culture is more superior, so you need to learn about mine, and I don't need to. I only need to know the basic about yours, and you know.
Wait till you have kids.
And when it's like that, bro, it's like, man, it's hard.
Yeah.
Wait till you have kids.
Well, you have kids. I have a kid. I have a kid. But it was from a previous relationship. But that guy was also white. So she's biracial. Right now, she's kind of understanding that she is both half white and half black. But since I'm her primary caregiver, I push that melanin all the way through, you know, and try to, if anything, I try to teach her the most of our culture, my culture, black culture, because unfortunately, her dad, like, he's not super into his culture one way or another. He's just Canadian. So
that's it. Hey.
Kind of bland, like white people. Yeah. So, you know? So
what made you like him? So listen, I'm gonna tell you something. So in my history, in my culture, I've never dated a white person, right? I've never dated a white person. So my thing was always, I always felt like there was a communication barrier, right? Like,
okay,
like it was the whole, I feel like it was the whole explanation of things, right? If I try to explain something, if I make a little joke, you're not, I don't know if you're really gonna laugh at my joke because it's a little different. Like, I'm naturally funny, right? I mean, clearly, but I always felt like I was right with my left hand when I was talking to white people. Nothing against her, I love white people. Matter of fact, I work with white people all day, But yeah. What, like, did you find that you had any, were there any barriers like that in the beginning when you guys were linking up? Like, little miscommunication that you had to coach him or learn him up on and shit?
No, not really. Yeah, not really. Because, like,
that mean he done had him a black girl before then.
Yeah, black girl before. But I will say the one, I guess, like, occasional barrier, he does not understand Patois at all. So
I don't either.
I'm having a hard time myself.
we'll be out with friends, and I have a friend who her husband is like immigrated from Jamaica or from Yad. So when he talks straight Patois, no filter, and uncut, doesn't care who it is, black, white, whoever, you're getting the same thing. And so he'll talk, and I get it, even though sometimes I'm like, what? But, like, he hears him, and it's like, doesn't understand it. And I find it so hilarious.
Yeah, I can relate. Right. Yeah, because that come out my yard. I'm like, brother, you want me to come or you want me to leave? I don't understand. That always throw me off.
I love the word yard, though. I call myself Yard Tete all the time because I don't leave the house. I love it.
You call yourself Yard what now? Yard
Tete.
Okay, I see.
Not Titi, Tete.
I don't know. I just want to make
it. Hey, it's not the same in Creole.
I'm dying.
It's not the same in Creole, though.
It's not the same in Creole. What does it sound like?
It's not like, that's why it means Tete. Tete means... That they mean, you know.
Oh, no. See, there's a whole mix up right there. No tete, as in like, it's like what do you call it? Like an enthusiast. So like when you're a sneakerhead, kind of like a sneakerhead, sneaker tete.
Oh, so you're a yard enthusiast? You're a yard enthusiast?
Yes, yes. I'm a house enthusiast.
It's a tet.
House parties, I will throw the dinner parties, I will throw the birthday parties, so I don't have to leave my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
right, well, I can dig
it. Oh, my God. So funny. Okay, so I want to say, okay, my last question to you guys, and then we'll wrap up what we're doing. But my last question is, you guys already said, like, what your favorite flavor is. I already know you're married. Dookie, are you still married or you're not married no more?
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I got a few engagements circulating out there. You know what I'm saying? I haven't made up my mind yet.
Okay, so you are proactively looking. What about you, Zoe?
I'm single. I ain't got nobody I'm talking to right now.
Single. Okay. So if y'all find the perfect Haitian person, the perfect, you know, Coco to your puff, what would they be like? Let's manifest them for you. What would they be like?
She will be like a person that gives me peace, that communicate well, that not too serious, not too, you know, sometimes I'm goofy, sometimes I could be serious, sometimes I could, you know, I just a person I could, you know, vibe with, like, and a king or queen, you know, vibration, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I think that's what I need. Just, you know, somebody that has sense of humor and, you know.
Well, that was a bullshit answer. My ideal person would have to be the opposite of me, right? She'd have to be the opposite, but alike in different ways. We'd have to be alike in different ways. I don't know really how to explain that, but she'd have to be, you know, like I'm this energy personality, you know what I'm saying? I want her to be the opposite of me, but bringing something to the table. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm always bringing ideas and I'm coming up with different things all the time. You'd have to be that person, right? But you're bringing your ideas in a different way. You know what I'm saying? I want to be the fireball in the relationship, and you can be the water, right? I want somebody who's calm, who can calm me, who can keep me calm, You know, because if I go and if I go out and get somebody who's exactly like me, right, and they're this big fall of fireball of energy, when I need to get calm, she's not going to get calm because she's going to be too busy being like me and blown up. And we could never, you know, we could never come to an agreement when it comes to things. So my person would be the opposite of me. She'd be a nurturing individual. She'd have a great relationship with her family. She'd have a great relationship with anybody she comes in contact with. She'd have to be somebody who is not negative at all. You know, just I hate negativity. I hate people who are just mood suckers. You know, I just hate those type of people. So my person would have to be that woman. Yes.
Okay. And you know what? Actually, before we wrap this up again, I'm going to ask one extra bonus question because I always like to ask my male guests this question on my show.
We Haitian kings, baby.
What is your one surprising or like, I don't want to call it surprising, but I guess your self-indulgent preference about a person? Like when I say self-indulgent, it's something that somebody would consider maybe vain or like I guess improper as a preference. Like for me, my example is I have a preference for tall men, like period. Like you have to be tall. If I see a picture of you, I'm like, oh, you handsome, and then you tell me the man in the picture is 6'8", 10 times more handsome.
Yeah, I'm 6'4".
My thing is,
my I'm man six. Is 6'6". Gotta keep going.
My thing is, I'm 6'9".
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, dude.
Okay, so what's that kind of preference?
I guess my thing would be, I'm a big fan of, you know, teeth, you know, because I get a lot of compliment on my teeth and I work on my teeth a lot. I'm always constantly going to the dentist. So, I mean, I think that's the first thing I notice on a person. And I think that's really what attracts me to people. You know, like I hate them butterball teeth. I just can't stand them yellow mother. I can't stand them.
Yeah.
Me, nobody wants to care about the miles. I feel like they don't care about themselves too much.
That's fair.
Fair enough. Okay. All right.
Yeah, me, I feel, you know, I'm a Haitian man, so we like to call it Grimel. You know, I love Grimel. A Grimel will get a chance for me 10 times than anybody.
Can you explain what a Grimel is? Like,
yeah, I'm about to. A Grimel is what we call a light skinned sister.
Like
a red bone. Pretty red bone to me is a God gift.
Okay. And then I know you already have your beautiful wife, but what is that one, I guess?
Ass titties.
There you go. Okay. All right. I love it. Thank you guys for joining me for this wonderful episode. Before we wrap up, can you let the viewers know where they can find you, where they can connect with you guys, where they can follow the show?
All right, cool. So this is the Jaw Jacket Show. We three Haitian kings that have grown up together. We've gone from boys to men. You can find us at Jaw Jacket Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube, Facebook, whatever the case may be. We have a website, jawjacketshow.com. Please. We do a lot of our stuff. We do a lot of our content on Instagram. So if you are on Instagram, follow us on Instagram. Comment, put your input in there, man. And we interact with everybody on there. We found some really good friends on there. We've canceled a couple of friends on there. But you know what I'm saying? We here for the people at the end of the motherfucking day.
And for whatever business you have, you want to promote?
Yeah, we host that.
Earlier, I wasn't really myself. So you know what I'm saying? But my name is King Zo 3062. I used to be a motherfucker and a grandma fucker, you know what I'm saying? But God changed me now. You know, I'm a changed man. So I just want to put that out there.
Well, with my outro, Dookie LaFleur 1804 everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Dookie LaFleur, the funny guy, aka Dookie LaFleur, aka Lick 'em Low, aka what they call me, Sir Lucius Left Foot, aka Get Right So I Don't Get Left. The Child Supporter. That's what they call me. The Child Supporter. That's my theme song. But anyways, man, love, life, live, laugh, and Lick 'em Low.
All right, amen. And For everyone following, make sure you follow this page on Instagram, YouTube at This Black Girl Podcast. Twitter is at This Black Girl P. And thank you again for a wonderful episode. You guys have a wonderful week, and we'll connect again. All right.